This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Up front, any phobias that you might have?
Speaking on the radio?
Oh, come on.
Come on.
You're a natural.
specific phobias? Not so much. Not so much, although there's every chance that I may have. I just haven't had the actual exposure to the stimulus to find out.
That leads to a very important question, I think. What creates something to become a phobia, a fear or a dislike of something? How does it make that journey to become a phobia?
Okay, so I guess we in this human condition, we all have the ability to experience fear, and it's one of those key human emotions. It's actually a really, really important one that we need to stay alive and to survive. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But I guess the difference where ordinary the emotional state of fear becomes a phobia or a specific phobia, which is actually a type of anxiety, is the association of panic with a specific object or stimulus. So, for example, spiders. It could be heights. It could be some of the more quirky ones that you hear about. Always talked about the kind of interesting phobias, but the reality is actually that it's actually the pairing of that really fearful, panicky emotional state with a particular experience or object or creature. So the reality is, when we look at it like that, anything could actually become a phobia. It's more to do with the panic associated with the encounter, and then what comes after that. So what makes something specifically a phobia is then the avoidance or the fear around the experience of the fear. You know what I'm saying?
I've heard of someone being scared of cotton buds before.
Yeah, so it's not so much the cotton bud, it's actually the fear that they may feel. So we actually, for people with phobias and often a lot of the anxiety disorders, it's actually the fear of fear.
Is it kind of linked with irrational fear as well, usually?
It can seem irrational, but the reality is, and that this often makes it really, really difficult for people that have this experience, because to the outsider it can really seem irrational, but the reality is that the association's been made and the fear is a real thing, because the experience of panic is a really, really unpleasant one, and so, you know, that's quite rational to be worried about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, and then What that panic attack's actually based on is our inbuilt fight or flight response, which is a safety mechanism, which is a reflex. So we can't actually control it to a large degree. We just need to learn how to manage it.
Well, what are some of the best ways to kind of manage things when you are kind of in that full-on flight fear mode where, you know, you're not maybe not thinking rationally as well and you're kind of, you know, in the full panic mode? What are some of the better techniques to kind of calm ourselves down?
So everybody's going to have their own technique that works for them. I will say, and it would be unprofessional of me not to say, that for specific phobias, it's going to be really, really important to see someone and to talk them through with the person, because they can actually tailor a management and coping plan to you and your needs and actually work with you on that. Mm. And they would do that through something called graded exposure. For example, I think you guys have been talking about arachnophobia.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for someone that's really, really, that their arachnophobia is really, really having an impact, a negative impact on their life, what a professional would do is to sit down with them and actually make a hierarchy of kind of from the least frightful to the most frightful, and then slowly just start to increase their exposure and work through that hierarchy. And so it's almost like riding a bike. Like, you start to learn how to do things differently, how to manage that sense of panic, and then up the ante a little bit, increase your exposure a little bit. I was thinking just before that that's almost exactly like what Toastmasters do.
Oh.
Where people who may not be that comfortable public speaking and have that sense of anxiety and worry actually increase their exposure to that and get more and more comfortable in that state until it becomes something that they can do as part of their everyday life. So when it comes to managing our own fears, then there's just some, you know, and our own panics. I loved your example before about, you know, getting into lifts and things like that by just focusing on your breathing, by taking a few calm, short breaths. And you know, maybe put yourself up against the wall and feel the reassurance of that, and just bring yourself into the present moment, give yourself some reassurance, and just get through it. The more you do that, the less likely it is you're going to feel that sense of panic next time.
just something on, you know, you're talking about the kind of exposure and actually kind of working through it. By the sounds of it, you're saying, like, do this within a kind of trained environment. Because it takes me back to when I was younger, when my brother decided to help me through my claustrophobia by covering me with blankets and trapping me in small rooms, which I can't say didn't help the situation all that much.
Yeah, that was something that psychology actually tried as well, and it has limited degrees of success.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the most important thing is to be going at your own pace,
yep,
to be able to manage that discomfort and overcome it, because that's actually the goal. If you're at a point where you've gone in too far, too fast, and you can't manage that discomfort, it may actually run the risk of reinforcing that panic and that worry.
Mm.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.